Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah. What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I'm your gracious host. My name is Tariq. We're going to chop up some good game as we usually do. It's going to be a very good show today. Well, all the shows are good, but you're going to really enjoy this one. What we're going to do, family, we're going to take a quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and we will be right back, so don't move a muscle, all right?
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the women you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
It's time to get your workout game on and your fitness in order, so you need to go to blackdragonfitness.com. They have all types of workout and fitness accessories. They have boxing gloves, they have punching bags, they have boxing bags, kick bags, they also have bicycle accessories, they have bench pressing accessories, they have runner's vests, they have fitness watches, they have everything you need to get your fitness game in order. So again, go to blackdragonfitness.com. You got to get your body looking right so you can campaign correctly. Again, go to blackdragonfitness.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You need to check out the hottest, newest thriller of the summer called Noxious, A Bear's Turn Fatal When a Reckless Woman Confronts Her Cheating Boyfriend. And after a careless mistake, all hell breaks loose, and hell has no fury like a woman scorned. Passion can be toxic. The movie available right now on Amazon and streaming on Prime, or go to NoxiousTheMovie.com, and you spell Noxious, N-O-X-I-O-U-S, and follow Noxious the Movie on all social media.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. My name is Tariq, and I'm ready to chop up a game. I'm about to bump that Mink Slide. I hope y'all got your Mink Slide album, bumping some of that City Lights. Family, today's show is also brought to you by a book called Bath Brush Books Bed by first-time author Jared Ray. It's a book that it's a perfect back-to-school book for your children to establish successful routines in life. Bath Brush Books Bed. That's a damn tongue twister. It's available on Amazon and paperback ebook copies, and you can get exclusive hardback copies at Jared. That's J-A-R-R-E-D L Ray R-A-Y. At gmail.com, or follow the brother on Twitter at Bath Brush Books Bed, ladies and gentlemen. And also, today's show is brought to you by Wet Minds. And Minds is spelled M-I-N-D-Z. That's a message board that talks about things in the community. You can post up about social things, sports, dating, relationships, everything on wetminds.com, that social forum. All right. So we're here, family. We're here. And I apologize. I wasn't on last week. I was in Atlanta. Shout out to the lovely, lovely, lovely brothers and sisters in Atlanta. I had a wonderful time out there as usual. We're filming for Hidden Colors 5. And for those who don't know, we are in the middle of the call to action campaign on Indiegogo for Hidden Colors 5. And I hope all the brothers and sisters in the chat room already have gone to Indiegogo and contributed to the Hidden Colors 5 campaign. If you have not, everybody go right now while you're listening to the broadcast here. If you're on the YouTube page, you can look right in the comments section or in the profile section below, and you can click the link right there. If you're listening on Apple Radio, iTunes, or whatever, you can just go to Indiegogo.com and type in Hidden Colors 5 and definitely support the making of Hidden Colors 5. We're talking about warfare. Everybody loves the trailer, and that's just a little smidgen of what you're going to see in the film. The film is going to be real deep. As a matter of fact, I will be in New York next week filming out there, and I'll be doing some press runs out there in New York City as well. All my media people in New York, hit me up, because I will be out there next week, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff we have to cover, family. It's going to be a nice long show today. Usually I say it's not going to be that long, but it's going to be a long one. It's going to be a long one because we got a lot to talk about. One thing I'm going to talk about, the known coon, Paris Denard. Did y'all hear about him? Paris Denard, he's a coon that's on CNN, usually defending Trump. And from what I understand, I think the Trump administration hired him at one point. And, I mean, he's a very loyal coon. They always trot him out to make all the coon talking points. And Paris Denard, he's been suspended from CNN because they didn't threw some sexual harassment charges on him. They didn't uncovered a sexual harassment charge from some years back. And they said he was fired, I think, from some university for coming on to a woman. So they didn't put him on a little suspension, and they're dragging him down the Me Too road. Now, the thing is, I don't believe the charges. Because when they say that he sexually harassed a woman, I'm like, shit. That nigga is moister than a pound cake and twice as sweet. I don't believe this nigga harassed no woman. Now, if you said that nigga harassed a dude, okay, I believe that. But it doesn't matter. That even proves the point further. They done threw these charges on him. That's not even really that believable, as moist as he is. But that just, they made an example out of his moist ass. They were like, look, moist nigga, we'll throw some of these charges on your ass too. We know you a dick dangler, but we'll put these charges on your ass and run you through the ringer. That's what we think about your cooning. Oh, the butter biscuits. Oh, he was so full on butter biscuits and they turned on him. All you coons gonna learn the hard way. All you coons and bedwinches are gonna really learn the hard way. There is no sanctuary for you under the system of white supremacy. That's the thing. Y'all think y'all got it figured out. These coons think they're doing something new. The coons are like, hey, wait a minute. I got an idea. Forget all this fighting white supremacy. Man, I'ma comply. I'ma just go along with it. I'ma become an accessory to white supremacy. Man, you might as well, if you can't beat them, shit, join them. That's gonna keep me safe. How's that working for y'all coons? Mr. Cosby, much respect to Cosby. Cosby thought that too. How's that working for Cosby? Stephonte Clark, or Stephen Clark, whichever one of the brothers, he thought cooning on the internet was going to save him. Dark bitches bring dark days. They killed him. Cooning ain't going to save you. cocooning is not going to save you. I don't know what makes y'all think that that's a viable option. That's not a viable option. Not only is it going to save you, you only have one option: to stand up, fight back, opening your ass cheeks and thinking that you're going to be in a safe place. It's not going to happen. These white supremacists are on a genocide campaign. They're trying to wipe millions of us off. They're not going to kill every black person, because if you killed all your people, all the black people, you wouldn't have white supremacy. They're going to need a significant number of us. But what they're doing now is population tailoring. They're going to need a significant amount of black people, but their numbers are dwindling. So they need to tailor the population so that it's not too many of us, so we get any bright ideas. And this is why we're seeing all of the murders and the executions. And what we got to stop doing, black people, stop sitting up here trying to look for police reform and all that old shit and march and protest. We got to think in terms of warfare, how to protect yourself in a war. When people are running a warfare game on you, how do you protect yourself? This is what we're talking about in Hidden Colors 5. We're talking about how to protect yourself in all areas of warfare. And warfare is not all about the battlefield, which is a significant part. I'm not saying we shouldn't look at that. But warfare is psychological, educational, economical. They're waging warfare on all fronts. They're waging warfare with the music. Did y'all see that disrespectful music awards they had the other day where they were... they had Aretha Franklin, a tribute to her, and Madonna got out there and did a speech all about herself, and Post Malone won Album of the Year. I mean, it was like the alt-right awards damn near. And they're trying to erase the legacy of black artists like Michael Jackson. Did y'all see that story? First of all, with Michael Jackson, they did this coordinated thing where they start talking about these white artists that are beating Michael Jackson's record. And the first thing they did, they said that Post Malone beat Michael Jackson's record for being on the charts for the longest. So that's like, whatever. And then they said that a group called the Eagles has outsold Michael Jackson's Thriller. It's the Eagles' greatest hits album. I think the album was originally released in 1976. And they said that this album, because of streaming and downloading now, it has outsold Thriller by, it's like 38 million. Thriller sold 37 million in the U.S. Now, they keep going out of their way to not specify that this is just the U.S. Globally, Michael Jackson's album, Thriller, is still the biggest selling album in the world, globally. But they're trying to hang their hat on any kind of win. A greatest hits album don't count. And not only that, what they did, they got all their hit records from different albums and put it on one album. And they're like, boom, this is the biggest selling album in the United States. And I still don't believe that. I think it's a crock of bullshit. I still don't believe that the Eagles album outsold Thriller, because they haven't even gotten the lie straight yet. Number one, the average person under the age of 40 don't even know who the damn Eagles are. And all y'all in the chat room, let's be real. Let's just be real without Googling. Name an Eagles song. I couldn't name an Eagles song if you had a gun to my damn head. Which one of y'all in this damn chat room can name an Eagles song? When I mentioned that on Twitter, a lot of people were like, who? I couldn't name an Eagle song if you had a gun to my head. And I'm dead at, I would have to Google it. I don't know one Eagle song. If I probably heard something, I'm like, oh, that's the Eagles? I heard of them. I don't know their songs. The average person who's under 40 don't know the Eagle songs. Hotel California, okay, that's the Eagles? Hotel California. Okay, I didn't even know that was them. I thought it was the damn Beach Boys who made Hotel California. And what happened was, basically, they done something to manipulate the streams, because you can do that. You can manipulate streams. You can falsify streams. And a certain amount of streams count as record sales. I think like 1,500 streams equal one record sales. So they done something to manipulate the streams. Streams can be manipulated. And sound like that's what they did in order to get it in the, to make it seem like the numbers were higher than they were. Because remember when Jay-Z, I think Jay-Z, and they put out one of Beyonce's albums on Tidal, and they were complaining that they think the numbers have been skewed or the numbers have been manipulated because Beyonce's sales were so high. So they were like, hey, Jay-Z must have manipulated the numbers on Tidal or something. See, when somebody black catches a win, hey, we need to investigate that shit. Oh, let's investigate. But the Eagles, clearly this is some shit going on where somebody manipulated the streams. They got some automated bots to increase the streams to make it seem like their records are selling. And hey, look, we just won. Look at us. So that's a crock of bullshit. Not only that, like I said, nobody under the age of 40 really fucks with the damn Eagles. And if you look at streaming, I put up a chart on Twitter. Most people who stream are teenagers. That's the highest group. The lowest group are people between the ages of 40 and 65. That is the lowest number of people who stream music. So they haven't even figured out how to justify the damn lie yet. Who are the people streaming this shit? If people 40 to 60 who would be the Eagles fans are buying this music and their streaming stats are extremely low, who in the fuck is buying the Eagles record? They haven't figured the lie out yet. You understand? But that's what they do. And that's the reason why we did the Mink Slide Project, by the way, family. That's the reason why we did it, because when it comes to the music game, they want to win. They have to make their face the face of everything. They want to make their face the face of the most successful records, the face of R&B. And they disrespect R&B legends like Aretha and Michael. This is a way for them to disrespect them. You dig? So this is why we got to be on our grind and be on code, and we got to support our shit. I want y'all to go out. If you don't have the Mink Slide album, download the album today. It's only $9. Get that shit on Google Play and iTunes. And also my funk family, the APX, who's on the Mink Slide album, they got their single out called Jupiter. Y'all get their Jupiter. That's like 99 cents. And they're going to be on tour with us. We're going to be on tour possibly in a couple of months. Let us know which city y'all want the Mink Slide tour to go to. We're definitely going to go to Atlanta. We definitely want to go to D.C. And we're definitely going to go to New York. Those are definite. What other cities should we go to? We need to get a good response from certain cities so we'll know we'll get a nice crowd there. You dig? I see somebody in the chat room. They're mentioning that Amanda Seals chick and some of those coon foreigners that we get over here. That's another thing we got to look into, family. I was talking about this little waterhead Bedouin stud named Lovey. People were clowning her on the internet last week because she made some disrespectful comments about Aretha Franklin and Tevin Campbell, and people were calling her out for her fuckery because for years she's been on fuckery watch. She's been on fuckery watch for years. She has always said disparaging things about black Americans so she can get brownie points with white mommy and zaddy. She's made several disparaging remarks about me. She's made several disparaging remarks about Hidden Colors, telling people not to watch it. These West African coons come over here and they can't wait to come over here and do the dirty work for white mommy and white daddy. And that's a harsh reality. And that's not all. Let me tell you something. I roll with Nigerians heavy. Whenever you see me somewhere, I got some Nigerian cats with me. Ola, my dude Mike, my man Carl the promoter, he's Nigerian. I always roll with Nigerian cats. Even when I went go to the UK, I got a big Nigerian family over there. Senegal, so many good folks over there that I'm down with from Nigeria. And what I notice, folks who go to the UK and the US and Canada from Nigeria, it's either one way or the other. There's like no middle ground. Either they come over here or to the UK and they're 100% on black empowerment, or they're a big goddamn coon or a bed wench. It ain't even no in between. Either they come over here and either they're down with blackness, they're down with empowerment, or they're on some what about black on black crime. And that's a harsh reality. And some of them have been mad because I've been calling that out, and I've been calling them out. I'm like, wait, y'all even got a word for us, that Akata bullshit. Like that Lovey chick, she used the word Akata to describe black Americans. We don't have a negative word that adult black people use for Africans. We have always shown love to African people. We have so many scholars over here who show love to African people, African native people. You have scholars over here all the time taking people over there for tours. Anthony Browder, James Small, Ashra Kwesi, John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben, Evan Van Sertima. All of these people for years have taken other black folks over there. Somebody said in the chat room, said African booty scratcher. That's some shit children do. And that's the thing. A lot of African brothers and sisters come over here, and as children, they're called African booty scratchers. As children, black adults don't use the term African booty scratcher. Let's be very clear. I said adults. I've yet to ever see an adult black person use the term African booty scratcher. That's something that children do. And unfortunately, no, somebody said adults too. Only dumbass hood niggas or somebody. Grown-ass black folks don't use no African booty scratcher. They just don't do that. That's not even an adult diss. Children do that. And the thing is, children, we got fucked up names for everybody. Unfortunately, that's a kind of a part of black culture. It's part of the dozens. Just niggas snapping on each other as kids. Look, I remember in school in junior high, everybody had a fucked up nickname. Everybody had a fucked up nickname. The whole school would get roasted. That's just a part of black American culture. That's a part of the dozens. Niggas got a fucked up name for you. And the thing is, if you get an African immigrant, a child who don't understand that part of the culture, they come over and they're like, oh, look at this African booty scratching nigga right here. What does this nigga say? African booty scratcher? Oh, wait till I grow up. I cannot wait to be a coon. You understand? So that nigga grows up, can't wait to be a goddamn coon. After he's been called an African booty scratcher in the 8th grade. See, a lot of y'all need to get over that bullshit, because y'all take that into adulthood and that's your fuel to be a whole coon. When all these kids be snapping on each other. These kids be snapping on each other heavy. Think about yourself in junior high. Everybody had I had a fucked up. They gave me, my nickname was F curl because I had a curl and they said it failed. So they said it was not an S curl. It was an F curl. It was funny. And I knew how to roast back. That's why I can roast motherfuckers so good. At my school, you had to be thorough with the mouthpiece to roast niggas. You understand? So we had to roast back. I had fucked up names for them niggas too. We diss each other and then shake hands and go play basketball at the end of the day. That's just part of the game. That's what we do as children. We roast each other. We were vicious. We get in the lunchroom and start lighting niggas up. And then shake hands and then go play basketball at the end of the day. You understand? But a lot of times these guys grow up and then all of a sudden, I'm going to get a white man. These niggas diss me as a baby. You know, then Unchuke gets with the alt-right and she's doing speeches for Donald Trump or some shit. And they look at black society as inferior anyway, because a lot of cats from parts of Africa are still in that tribal shit. I saw some African chicks who are pretty prominent in the UK media insulting people, talking about, yeah, what tribe are you from? I know my tribe. My tribe is Igbo, Yoruba. What tribe are you from? They were saying that as a diss to somebody who was criticizing them for something. So they were like, well, y'all niggas don't even know your tribe. It was that type of thing. Just like that Lubby chick. That Lubby chick was like, yeah, me, I ain't no Akata. I'm Yoruba. I'm Igbo. I'm Niger. I know my tribe. It's that whole thing. Well, I know my tribe. Let me tell my African coon something. And this is just for the coons, because I got love for my African brothers and sisters. But let me talk to the coons for a minute. Let me tell you the name of your tribe. The tribe you're a part of is the Victim of White Supremacy tribe. All that Tutsi Hutu, that Hotel Rwanda shit, everybody's killing each other over tribal differences, and you're all part of the Victim of White Supremacy tribe. You're the nigga tribe. Y'all sit over here pointing at us like, oh, these niggas don't know their history. They don't know their tribe. They're Akata. No, we're all a part of the same tribe. While you sitting over there fucked up in the game because a missionary is over there giving you a bowl of rice and taking all the goddamn oil. Look, those niggas over there don't know history, and you over there right in the belly of the damn beast. They're raping the shit out of you over there. Because we're both a part of the tribe. The thing is, we know the tribe we're part of. We know we're in the nigga tribe, meaning the Victim of White Supremacy tribe. And did y'all see that video over in Uganda where that white supremacist was over there smacking niggas up, telling them? He was reminding them about their tribe. He didn't call them Igbo, Tutsi, Yoruba. He didn't call them none of that. He was like, hey, you niggas better bow down to me. You notice the white supremacists, they never acknowledge you by your tribe. They're like, I am a Yoruba. Oh, really? Nigga, please. They remind you of the tribe you're in, the nigger tribe. You understand? My African brothers and sisters, and I'm saying this to all of you, cut that tribal bullshit out. Y'all need to cut that tribal bullshit out right now. Somebody said it doesn't matter what whites say. Nigga, it 100% matters what they say, because they do what they say. They follow up what they say with actions. See, we sit up here doing ceremonies and all this old bullshit, talking and singing and screaming. They got the muscle to back up their shit. And until we get the muscle to back up our shit, you better take heed to what they're saying. You are the nigga tribe globally. We are all the nigga tribe, meaning victims of white supremacy. We got cats over here still on that tribal shit, where these white supremacists, they are all on the same page globally. Speaking of Africa, over in South Africa right now, the white supremacists are talking about white genocide, which is a myth, which is not even a myth, it's a lie. They're talking about white genocide because the South Africans are going to take their land back. They are going to take their land back, which they should have done a long time ago. They got Julius Malema in there, and that brother's about that business. He's talking about taking that land, and all the white supremacists all over the world are on code right now. Notice, you don't really have any people in the dominant society co-signing that. They're not really in favor of the Africans taking their land back, even though it was illegally stolen from them. And Donald Trump put out a tweet talking about he's going to get the Secretary of State to look into white farmers being mass killed over there. So Donald Trump just gave another wink and a nod to the white supremacist movement. He's low-key. It's almost like he's threatening to send troops over there or something. So now all the white supremacists, they're like, oh yes, we got Trump on board. understand, the white supremacists are global. There are no tribes with them. They're one big global tribe. They'll put aside their differences overnight to get on the same page globally with each other. And at this point, Africans all over should be supporting South Africa right now. That's the problem. When all these white supremacists, they've made a global concession against an African country, like Britain, Australia, America, the white supremacists in America, all of them are on the same page to attack an African country. All of the African countries right now should be having, they should have the back of South Africa. But niggas want to be, well, I'm Igbo, I'm part of the Sand Tribe, I'm the Zulu. Y'all better put that shit aside right now. Because when they get in there and dominate one, they dominate all. We all, not just all the African nations, black people globally, we need to get behind South Africa. And our brother Malema, he responded to Trump. And now let me play some of that, what that brother said. It was beautiful. I respect the hell out of Malema because this is the side of justice. He's on the side of truth. He's on the side of courage. And he spoke out about what's happening. And this brother spoke beautifully. This is Julius Malema on talking about the white supremacists and Trump's tweet and all this stuff.
All of them in the hearings, in the public hearings. Donald Trump is not saying anything we have not heard from white people. In all the hearings, I even commented and said, I'm still to meet a white person who support expropriation of land without compensation. So why are you shocked? I see leaders of the EFF and everybody responding to Donald Trump. I don't have time for nonsense. I expected this. And more backlash is going to come. If South Africans are not ready to expropriate the land because they are scared of sanctions, they are scared of backlash, then don't vote for the EFF. Because you vote for us, we are going to expropriate land. And Donald Trump will come for us. And Britain will come for us. And the EU will come for us. I said this throughout my life in the movement, that for everything good comes the pain before.
I got to pause on that. Brother's preaching some real shit. That's a real goddamn man right there. That's a real leader. That's real talk. Are y'all listening to what this brother's saying? That's courage. He's like, I know. I expect them to come at me. I know. If you didn't want your land back and freedom, y'all shouldn't have voted for us. See, the thing is, we'll do a lot of niggas will do some symbolic shit, but when it's time for the nitty gritty, niggas start getting scared. See, we'll sit up and do a little ceremony. A lot of Negroes like ceremonies, but after the ceremony is over, now it's time to put in some work and niggas start getting scared. He said, hey, don't get scared now. Y'all shouldn't have voted for me because I'm about to do this. I'm about to get this damn land back. If you were scared, say you scared. Don't even fuck with me. Real talk. That's that Ogun spirit. That's real ass talk. Don't get scared now. Yeah, they gonna come at us. Yeah, they're going to throw sanctions at us. We know that. He's talking real talk. Britain is going to come at us. All of them are going to come at us. But this is whenever there's something good that's supposed to happen, there's going to be pain. I want y'all to feel this is a great speech this brother's saying right here. There's going to be, see, we think that life is supposed to be comfortable all the time. We want to be in a comfortable slave cabin until they knock us off, until they kill us, until they abuse us, or until they put us in greater confinement. We got to walk on eggshells all our damn life. No, no, no. If we're going to do good, anytime there's going to be good, there's going to be pain. He's speaking some real talk. Let me play the rest of my brother. Hold on.
For everything good comes the pain before. If you're not prepared, South Africa, to take the pain, then forget about the land. Donald Trump has not said anything extreme. Things are still going to come. I hope the Zuma group in the ANC, which is supporting this thing, They know the consequences. We know the consequences. We know that the first response will be killing. They will kill us for that. There's a group of white right-wingers who are being trained by Jews in Pretoria to be snipers. Snipers. They are not training guns. In the EFF, we are training toy guns. They're dealing with real stuff. <Yeah. laughs> They are training in a farm in Pretoria. We know it. To be snipers. So we know that death is the first price we are prepared to pay.
See that? We're prepared to pay the price of death if we're going to get our land back and our freedom. That's that Ogun spirit talking right there. You got to be willing to take that risk. That's real talk. And y'all need to internalize that.
The second price we are prepared to pay for this land is poverty. They will close taps. But if there is a conviction, if there is a conviction and not sloganeering and public opinions, then we must be prepared for everything.
Yep. He said, forget about the sloganeering. See, that man is talking real talk. See, we as black folks, we get into a lot of chantings and slogans, but we don't want to put in no real work. That's why we love protest. We love walking around, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. We love doing that old nonsense because you don't get no dirt on your hands. You know, you get to blow off some steam and go home and just sit around and be scared again. He's talking real-ass talk. This is real grown man talk. This is real revolutionary talk. He ain't marching. Forget about sloganeering. We taking our shit back. Yeah, they're going to try to kill us. Now, he ain't saying what they got, and I know they got some tricks up their sleeve. But that's how you're supposed to understand and watch your enemies and see what they're doing and know what they're capable of. Yeah, they're capable of something, but we're going to take some of them out with us. But we're going to get this land back or we're going to die, one or the other. And he said, well, we're going to get more poverty. And look, I've been to South Africa, and they have zero to lose. They're already in poverty. You got all the black people sitting up there in townships, in shanty towns, basically aluminum foil houses or tin foil houses. You understand? They're already in poverty. They're already in poverty right now. So they have nothing to lose. And you got a whole township of black folks living in shambles, and like right across the street, there's a condo with a bunch of wealthy white supremacists right across the street whose wealth and resources have been passed down because they stole them from the African brothers and sisters. Let me play some more. Hold on one second.
It's a war. We must be prepared for Donald Trump and all of them. We're not scared of them. We remain unshaken. Actually, we are more determined after the Donald Trump tweet to expropriate our land without compensation.
They're more determined.
It's genocide here. It's an absolute rubbish to say that.
See that? That Donald Trump tweet made us more determined to get that damn land.
It's genocide here.
Oh, let me play this. Hold on.
We're not scared of them. We remain unshaken. Actually, we are more determined after the Donald Trump tweet to expropriate our land without compensation. There is no white genocide here. It's an absolute rubbish to say there is white genocide. There is black genocide in the USA.
Boom.
They are killing.
Boom. He's like, shit, there's black genocide in the US, which is 100% true. And there's black people scared to admit that. Because the white supremacists punk y'all out. There's a black genocide happening here. They're killing us with impunity.
Rubbish to say there is white genocide. There is black genocide in the USA. They are killing black people in the USA. There is black genocide here In South Africa, black people are being killed all the time. A farmer has been sentenced to life now recently for having killed a farm worker. Imagine if it was a black person sent life.
There you go. So that's all I'm going to play of that. But brother is spitting some real talk. That brother is spitting real talk. And that's the mentality you're supposed to have. He's dropping gems. I respect that. Because he's on the side of correctness in history. You understand? And all the African nations should be supporting South Africa right now. Instead of sitting up here on some tribal bullshit. Because white supremacists globally, they've all been deputized globally to attack us globally. The white supremacists are completely deputized. All the powers that be globally, they're officially giving the white supremacists the green light to come at us. And not only the white supremacists, some of the honorary Asian or the honorary Aryans who are some of these white supremacists wannabe Asians too. I played the clip on my Twitter of this Asian lady in New York calling the police on these black brothers who were smoking a cigarette outside. Now, there were a group of white dudes, and she ignored them and went to the brothers and started calling the police on them for smoking a cigarette. And when they started filming her, she was following them, trying to get them to erase the video. So all these other so-called minority groups that niggas love caping for, they're all team white supremacy. And that's another thing. We've been out here caping for all of these damn groups so much for them to turn around and turn on us. We got to start looking at our own people and getting on code with them. All you got to do is get on damn code. I'm telling you, these white supremacists are being officially deputized. The police union in New York, I think it's in New York, they done put out a reward. They just said the police, and this is why I tell y'all, these police unions are very, very dangerous. See, these police unions are the ones that's helping to cover up and sanction these white supremacist murders. See, a lot of these police unions, they're racially segregated. A lot of these police unions, they either don't let too many black officers in, or they let a handful of coons in. That's why they have unions. These unions were created to keep black people out of the workforce to a certain degree. That's why unions were created, not to get better prices and all that. The history of unions in this country was really to keep out black workers. Started around right after Reconstruction. If you look at all the early unions in the U.S., all of them were just hubs for white supremacy to stop all the skilled African people from getting all the jobs. Because directly after slavery, the people who had all the skills were black people, the black former enslaved people. We had all the skills because we were doing shit anyway for free. So hell, you gonna pay me a salary to do the shit that I've been doing for free for 400 damn years? Oh yeah, I'll take that. So in order to have white immigrants come over and compete, they had to get these unions to starve us the hell out. That's why black people could only get jobs at the time that really you had to work off tips, like as porters and shit like that. The tipping in this country had a racial origin too. Tipping was because they didn't want to pay black people, period. But they were like, hell, we need cheap labor. Hell, fuck cheap. We need free labor. So they're like, we'll hire these black folks. We're just not going to pay them a salary. So y'all, the customers will have to pay them. And that's where tipping came in. And there was a big anti-tipping movement in this country because they were like, well, shit, we don't want to have to pay these niggas. Look up the history of tipping. That's why when they talk about black folks don't like to tip, you better tip these nuts. Fuck out of here with that black folks don't like to tip shit. Black people have worked for free for years and didn't get shit. And we had to live off tips and all that. Tipping was started to undermine us. But I digress. But the point is, these unions, I'm going back to the police unions. These police unions are these white supremacist hubs. And what they've done now, they are offering civilians $500 if they help them take down a suspect who's resisting. They're offering money to civilians. Now, y'all know which civilians are going to get the money. Because let me tell you something. If you are a black person and you see a white person getting arrested and they're resisting and you go try to help, they're going to charge you for interference. They're not going to give you no reward money. They're going to charge you. So this thing, understand, it's not going to be a racially equal thing. It's dog whistle language, and they know what it means. We better learn how to pick up on dog whistles. They can talk about something racial without even saying exactly what they're going to do. So what they're going to do, they're going to help, they're going to pay civilians to help gaffle brothers up. Instead of punishing these people for making all these bogus 911 calls, they're going to start giving them financial incentives. So that's all that is. So they're deputizing these people. And speaking of deputizing people, that white supremacist who shot up the Waffle House and killed all those black people in Nashville, I think it was Nashville, right? In Tennessee. They shot up the Waffle House, and the white supremacist, he got arrested. I can't think of his name right now, but what they've done, they have decided that he's mentally incompetent to stand trial right now. So they put him into a mental institution. They are using the insanity thing on him. This dude had a premeditated murder. He was going around before the murder calling black folks niggas and all this stuff. So he premeditated a murder very skillfully and went out and did a mass killing of black people. He timed it. He knew where black people would be. So now they're trying to, okay, wait, hold on. We got a bunch of white supremacists in the chat room right now, I see we have white supremacists in the chat room. Okay, so family, this is what we do. Every time you see these white supremacists troll, everybody make a small donation, okay? And then we're going to use that donation to help out some black schools, okay? So the white supremacists are trolling the room right now. So whenever you see them making some comments about Jewish people or 1488, everybody give a donation. Everybody give a small donation. Okay? We're going to let their hatred empower the community. Okay? So everybody hit that donate button, because the white supremacists are pretty desperate right now. And so they've been doing a lot of trolling lately. Have y'all noticed a lot of those Russian white supremacist troll bots popping up on Twitter? And also hit that Patreon too. Y'all click the link below, and we have a Patreon too. So everybody hit that Patreon. All right. There we go. Look at the donations coming in. There you go. I'd like to thank the white supremacists for keeping these donations flowing. There you go. All the donations are coming in heavy. Thank you so much, white supremacists. Y'all really, you're doing so much for the black community, because I'm going to help some black schools. As a matter of fact, some of this money that you white supremacists are helping me get right now, I'm going to use some of that money. And I was going to do this anyway. There's a school down in Georgia where there were some poor kids who couldn't afford their lunches. So they're not going to let the kids get lunch because they don't have the money. I'm going to send some money down to the schools down there in Georgia. Oh, thank you, white supremacists. The donations are coming in. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you. You white supremacists are great. Every time they type in GDL, let's keep the donations going. I love it. Yeah, this is an anti-troll fund. Every little bit count, $1, $2, $5, I love it. You white supremacists are going to help us help the community. So some of you white supremacists can do some good. All right, but like I was saying, I was talking about how the white supremacists in Nashville – they're going to use the insanity thing on him, and they're going to put him in a mental institution right now. They're going to use that to probably try to throw the case out. I knew they were going to do that, and he knew they were going to do that. That's why when he did the murders, he did it in the nude. He had a coat on, and he didn't have any clothes on, so he was playing crazy. His ass ain't crazy. He knew that if he used that insanity plea, that the other white supremacists would get on code with him. Like I said, they tried to do the same thing with Dylann Roof. They tried to do the exact same thing with Dylann Roof, tried to say he was crazy, but Dylann Roof wanted to go to jail. He wanted to be a martyr. So he's like, nah, I ain't crazy. Fuck it. No. I don't. Damn an insanity defense. I know what I'm doing. You dig? So again, that's another way for them to deputize these white supremacists, just like the white supremacists they deputized to shoot that brother down there in Florida. And they're having the little bullshit kangaroo court where the state charged them, but they gave him a low bail amount, so he's going to get out real fast, and they're going to run this through the system real fast and be like, hey, look, we arrested him, we went to court. So they know what they're doing. They're deputizing these people, and they're officially deputizing them. And now they're not even using any kind of real pretext. I saw another video of a brother. He lives in an apartment complex, and he was out there working on his car. And the police came, asking him a bunch of questions and all that. And he was like, well, you know, I don't want to show my ID. I'm out here working on my car. I don't know why you're bothering me. I live here. And they were like, well, I could take you to jail for loitering. He's like, well, how am I loitering and I live here? And the race soldier was like, well, you don't live in this parking lot. So, you know, they're not even used. Loitering, that's an old white supremacist reason to get black folks. If black folks was just standing around, well, nigga, that's a crime. You're standing around. You're loitering. So that you're criminal loitering. So they're getting old school with shit right now. They are going old school with their white supremacist rhetoric. And speaking of rhetoric, and all you white supremacists in the room, shout out to you. Thank you for the donations, by the way. You white supremacists are really helping us out. And speaking of white supremacists, one of the white supremacist leaders, Tucker Carlson was on his show the other day on the anniversary of the Haitian Revolution. My brothers and sisters in New York, they unveiled a street named after Jean-Jacques Dessalines. And if you've seen my movie, 1804, we did a whole movie about the Haitian Revolution. And we talked about how people like Toussaint Louverture, they're tolerated by the white supremacists. They can tolerate Toussaint because Toussaint, he kind of tried to make deals. And, you know, he made deals with the white supremacists. He tried to make deals with Napoleon, and that was his downfall. He was the leader of Haiti for a minute. And they can kind of tolerate Toussaint. They can talk about him a little bit. But one person they cannot tolerate is Jean-Jacques Dessalines. The white supremacists cannot stand Jean-Jacques Dessalines. Dessalines was the dude. Dessalines wasn't about no negotiations. He wasn't negotiating whatsoever. And Tucker Carlson was upset that they named the street after Dessalines. And understand, Dessalines was enslaved. The African people there in Haiti were being wiped out. They were wiping them out during the Haitian Revolution. But this is Tucker Carlson talking about Dessalines.
Meanwhile, across America, statues are being toppled. Streets and schools have been renamed. We're in the middle of a revolution, remember. All for the sake of purging the memory of long ago racism. But in New York, they have a very different plan. They're now honoring a genocidal dictator. Amazing. The city council, led by Jumaane Williams, who's a frequent guest on this show, if you watch, you'll know exactly who he is, running for lieutenant governor of New York right now, just voted to rename a street after the Haitian dictator Jean-Jacques Dessalines. In the early 1800s, Dessalines ordered the genocide of all white people on the island. That included men, women, and children.
Which is a damn lie. Which is a big, funky-ass lie that they love telling. That is a lie. That is a bold-faced lie. The Haitians left the Scottish people there, certain Polish people, They did not kill all the white people in the island. They only killed the white supremacists, the French, the people who had them enslaved. They did not kill all the white people on the island.
And he did it. It's what he is best known for. New York City apparently finds that impressive, so impressive, they're going to name a street after him. Seth Baron is associate editor of City Journal. He joins us tonight. Seth, thanks a lot for coming on. Did I ever state that?
No, I think you were right. I mean, you were right. Welcome
okay,
to Year
so
Zero.
What is this about? Exactly.
Well, you know, I think it would make perfect sense to have a statue or a street named after Jean-Jacques Dessalines in Port-au-Prince, the Haitian capital.
Right.
I don't understand why we're doing it in New York City. I mean, there are a number of Haitians here in Brooklyn,
yes.
You know, near there.
Hold on. Let me speak on this bullshit. Hold on. So I can understand why they got one in Haiti. I don't know why they have one here in New York City. If they don't get the fuck out. Do y'all, let me tell y'all something. They're Confederate statues, not only all in the South. The Confederates, understand, the Confederates fought against the United States. The Confederates fought to destroy the United States. The Confederate soldiers fought to destroy the United States. They fought against the American flag. And there are Confederate statues all up in the North. If you go to Washington, D.C., and somebody pointed this out to me while I was there last time, not too long ago, there are Confederate statues all over Washington, D.C. There's Confederate statues in Chicago. They have Confederate monuments out here in Los Angeles or Southern California. They got a Confederate monument down in Santa Ana. I think they got another, some kind of monument or marker down there in Anaheim. That's why the white supremacists love going down to Santa Ana and doing little marches and rallies down there. And they got their ass whooped the last time they came out there, remember? But there's Confederate monuments all in northern states. You understand? So this whole thing about why is something about Haiti in New York and it has nothing to do with New York? Bullshit. You have Haitians in New York. You have a lot of people in New York from Haiti. And that's why.
This is advocated by the same people, Jumaane Williams and others, who want to tear down the Statue of Columbus, a Columbus Circle, who want to rename, you know, Stuyvesant High School because Stuyvesant owned slaves. So it's a very extreme kind of measure. I mean, if you recall, a year ago, Jumaane Williams was very much in favor of the Puerto Rican Day Parade honoring Oscar Lopez Rivera. I know you had him on then. Oscar Lopez Rivera was a terrorist who bombed a...
Okay, they're all, and you notice they're all over the place. They can't really even justify this dumb shit they're talking. They can't even justify it. Hold on.
Major... historic landmark downtown and killed several people, including a cop. But this is who, you know, there he is. This is who the city is now apparently honoring and favoring.
There are a couple of interesting things about this, but the first is that multiculturalism isn't real. So we were told that multiculturalism is when lots of cultures kind of coexist happily and all that. This is really destroying one culture and replacing it with the new, a foreign culture. I mean, well, that appears to be, we're taking your monuments down and putting ours up. I mean, that's kind of what's going on.
Well, I talked to one member of the city council.
And they're just putting up a street. It's just one street named after Dessalines, and they're trying to compare that to all of these genocidal monuments of white supremacists all over the country.
A Republican who voted for it, for this street renaming, and he sort of indicated that this was like insurance or a SOPs. This way, this will protect Columbus. Like, if we give them this street for after Dessalines, then they won't come after Columbus. And I said, that's like the strategy of feeding your friends to the crocodiles in hopes that they'll eat you last. I think that they'll...
These white supremacists are babbling. They can't even justify the dumb shit they're talking about. You notice this is... White supremacy is not the most logical thing. Remember that. White supremacy is not about logic. It's about dominance.
Have Dessalines and take Columbus eventually when they're ready.
But Columbus discovered America, and this is America, so maybe there's a reason we celebrate Columbus. Dessalines, whatever.
Columbus didn't step foot on the American continent. As a matter of fact, speaking of Columbus, he was on Hispaniola, which is where Haiti is. Columbus went to Hispaniola, which is where Haiti is. Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm sure he had good points in addition to being a genocidal nutcase.
Sure.
You know, no one is monochromatic. But, like, what does that have to do with America?
Well,
I mean,
history,
nothing, right?
You know, history is complicated. Something? History is complicated, and everybody has their mixed story. According to Jumaane Williams, Columbus, Jefferson, Washington, it's all arbitrary why they're honored, and Dessalines or Mugabe, yeah. I guess, aren't.
That's next.
How do they work Mugabe in there? Hold on. Wait, they work Mugabe in there? Hold on.
Or Mugabe, yeah. I guess, aren't.
That's next. Mugabe.
Yeah.
Seth Barron.
Okay, that's the end of the segment. And notice, they couldn't even justify. It was mayonnaise babble. It was nothing but mayonnaise babble. It didn't even make sense. It was nothing but mayonnaise babble. It didn't make any sense. And then they tried to work Mugabe in it. And notice the pattern. Anytime black people stand up to white supremacy, they get shook. And they tell us to get over it. They never get over it. They don't get over taking an L from any black person, a black person checking white supremacists. They don't get over that at all. It was mayonnaise babble all over the place. And again, they're so shook over Dessalines. Whenever you bring up Dessalines' name, well, they start acting funny style. That's why you guys need to check out the movie 1804 at 1804movie.com. 1804movie.com. And again, I got to thank all the white supremacists in the room for helping us get these donations here. You guys are great. And shout out to the community for helping out. Now, another thing I want to talk about, speaking of white supremacists. Now, you got two types of white supremacists. You got right ones and you got left ones. That's why don't ever get caught up in that partisan bullshit. The white supremacists, they love playing good cop, bad cop. That's their thing. They love playing the good cop, bad cop role. And black folks, we got to stop falling for the good cop narrative. I talked about that Officer Tommy, I forgot his last name. Officer Friendly is what everybody called him. And all the rappers and everybody hugs up around this guy because he's nice to black people. He goes out and plays double dutch with the little black kids and he dances and sings with black kids. We got to stop falling for that. And another thing, before I get into that, one thing I almost forgot to talk about. In Michigan, in Grand Rapids, a white supremacist urinated on a 5-year-old black child in an alley. There were some black kids outside playing. It was a couple of 5-year-olds and some 7-year-olds. They were outside playing. And black people, before I go into the story, I don't know how to emphasize this. Don't have your damn children outside like that. Why you would have a 5-year-old away from the house in this climate is beyond me. Black people, let me talk to my black people for a minute. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? What the hell is wrong with y'all? Why do you let your children at that young age be away from the house outside like that? Out of eyesight. What? I can't fathom that, man. I literally can't fathom that fucking idea. I can't fathom that idea for nothing. My daughter, who's 18 now, I just started letting her go out a couple of years ago by herself. Am I sheltering? Yeah, but shit, you got to. That's the environment we live in. Why would you let children, black children, go out unsupervised? We shouldn't even have black children walking home from school by themselves. You don't let little black children be out away from the house unsupervised, black people, in the system we're in. if you own drugs, put the drugs down. We can't have this type of mentality. You're letting these children out here, and you got these sick white supremacists who are just opportunists waiting to do harm to black people, and they're looking for soft targets. So these black children are outside playing. This 60-year-old white supremacist goes out and urinates on this black 5-year-old child and calls her a nigga. He's urinating on a 5-year-old black child while he's calling her a nigga. So they go arrest the guy. The other children, they identified him. So the Grand Rapids police arrested him. Do you know the Grand Rapids police will not release the guy's name? I still don't think the Grand Rapids police released that guy's name. They were like, well, we're not going to release his name right now, which is odd. But they're going out of their way to not release this guy's name. And on the Grand Rapids police Twitter page, they got pictures and names of black suspects all up and down their page. So we know what team the Grand Rapids police is on. From what I understand, you got some card-carrying white supremacists within the Grand Rapids police. So understand, they're all on code. They're protecting white supremacists. And they didn't have any photo or nothing of them. Now, the thing is, I was the one who named the guy and put his picture out there. I did that. I did that earlier. I did independent research and I got the guy's name. I was the only media source in the world to name the damn suspect. His name is David Allen Dean. I named him, put his picture up. I was the only one who did that. Because even the media, they get on code with each other. When the police say they don't want to name somebody, the media, they get on code. I ain't on code with none of them. David Allen Dean, that's his name. And he's already a convicted pedophile. He already has sexual charges against kids. He's already a known sexual predator. I want y'all to understand how important it is for us to take control of the narrative and put shit out there. We got to be in front of shit, family. We have to be in front of everything. And you see, this is why these white supremacists are mad at me. You see all these white supremacists in the room. They've been mad at me for the last couple of weeks because that's what I do. I be exposing white supremacists and honorary Aryans. The white supremacist message boards, boy, they've been threatening me all week because I exposed that white supremacist wannabe out there in Atlanta who was harassing black people at that restaurant. And they're all blaming me for getting her fired because I start making phone calls and putting her shit out there. And these white supremacists, I'm all types of niggas and spear chuckers on Stormfront and 4chan and Reddit. They got whole threads about me. Fuck that nigga Tariq, that race baiting nigga. That's why they're all in the room now. Y'all see them in the room right now mad? I'm the mayonnaise whisperer. That's what I do. I'm the mayonnaise whisperer. I know they're trying to get me kicked off. I know. I already know. But I got the spirit of Ogun in me for this month, family. What you thought? This is why we have to control that media. We have to control our own media. That's why y'all got to click them links below. This is why Hidden Colors 5 is coming heavy. The family, we need you. You see how these white supremacists are on code in the chat room right now, flooding it with trolling and all this? They're on code. We got to be on code, family. 100%. And we got to have the family support the HC5 campaign so we can make this thing happen and get it out there on a global level. The white supremacists, they like you marching and singing, but when you start taking action and start hitting them in the pockets, that's when they got a problem. They don't mind you marching and yelling and crying. They love a nigga yelling and crying and, oh, be nonviolent. Oh, yeah, we love that. Yeah, Dr. Martin Luther King did that. They love that type of talk. But when you start making phone calls and you start exposing folks and putting them out there and getting them from behind the shadows and fucking up their jobs and all that, Then, wait a minute, nigga, you're doing too much. Oh, let's not get no ideas. And this brings me to this guy that a lot of black people have been bigging up. He's a politician. He's running for office down in, I think, Texas. I don't know where he's running for office. His name is Beto O'Rourke. I hope Beto or Beto. Beto O'Rourke. I think I'm pronouncing his name right. He's a white guy, Beto O'Rourke. I know they're saying that he's running against Ted Cruz. And this guy's supposed to be a liberal. And he made a little speech that went viral, and black folks are just eating it all the way up. Black folks are soaking it all the way up. I've seen some bedwinchery with some of his comments. I've seen some bedwinches. I'm wet. I've seen people say that in chat rooms. Looking at this man's speech, some Negro bedwinches talking about they wet. Oh, I just got wet. This desperate need to be up under Zaddy because he said some nice shit. But let me play a clip of this guy that people are bigging up. He's talking about the protests, and basically, he's like, yeah, I'm down with the protests. Protests, that's the best thing we can do. And he's saying all the shit that black folks like to hear. He's talking about the civil rights movement and all that old shit. But basically, he's talking about a lot of nothing. He's just giving you ear candy. And black folks are falling for it. We got to stop falling for the good cop routine, because he ain't talking about doing anything to race soldiers. I want y'all to listen and understand game. Because when people start talking all that old good shit and black folks are like, yes, oh yeah, ooh, love, I love it. I'm looking for key words. And when I don't hear key words, I'm like, okay, this dude ain't doing shit. He's just talking in circles. He's just running a whole good cop, bad cop game. And I want y'all to hear this. And also look for the key words that will go over your heads and the dog whistles that the white supremacists will catch. But black folks are so gushy and mushy over this dude saying some shit that you like and him being nice. Y'all don't catch the coded keywords he's saying. I want y'all to listen to this guy. Beto and O'Rourke. And I mean, a lot of black folks are eating this guy, his rhetoric up. Listen.
Today, thank you each for your service. My short answer is no. I don't think it's disrespectful. Here's my longer answer.
Okay, they asked him, was it disrespectful for athletes to take a knee during the national anthem? All right, so he's all with it. Oh, yeah, they can take a knee. Oh, that's a great thing. Now, listen.
Try to make sure that I get this right, because I think it's a really important question. And reasonable people can disagree on this issue. Let's begin there. And it makes them no less American to come down on a different conclusion on this issue, right? You can feel as a young man does, you can feel as I do, you're every bit as American all the same. But I'm reminded, somebody mentioned reading the Taylor Branch book. You did. Parting the Waters and the King Years. And when you read that book and find out what Dr. King and this nonviolent, peaceful movement to secure better, because they didn't get full, civil rights.
You saw peaceful. You. I want y'all to notice he keeps emphasizing the words peaceful, nonviolent. He keeps emphasizing those words. A lot of y'all don't catch that because he's saying what you want to hear. But he keeps emphasizing peaceful and nonviolent. Hold on.
Rights for their fellow Americans. The challenges that they face. Those who died in Philadelphia, Mississippi, for the crime of trying to be a man, trying to be a woman in this country. The young girls who died in the church bombing.
And that's another thing, family. They love talking about that civil rights. They start, MLK. All people died in Philadelphia. All the church bombing. They start talking about the 1960s, but they're talking about the passive Negroes in the 1960s. I understand. They ain't talking about the Black Panther. There were some radical brothers and sisters in the 1960s. But they're talking about that civil rights crowd.
Those who were beaten within an inch of their life crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama.
Selma?
With John Lewis.
Oh, I'm surprised John Lewis didn't just pop out of a cake. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, they throwing John Lewis out. That's why my eyebrows are raised. When they start talking this type of talk, I'm like, okay, all right.
Those who were punched in the face, spat upon, dragged out by their collar at the Woolworth lunch counter for sitting with white people at the same lunch counter in the same country where their fathers may have bled the same blood on the battlefields of Omaha Beach or Okinawa or anywhere that anyone ever served this country. The freedoms that we have were purchased not just by those in uniform, and they definitely were, but also by those who took their lives into their hands riding those Greyhound buses, the Freedom Riders in the Deep South in the 1960s, who knew full well that they would be arrested, and they were serving time in the Mississippi State Penitentiary. Rosa Parks getting from the back of the bus to the front of the bus.
Oh. Oh, he's just hitting all the bullshit talking points. Rosa Parks, Selma, Freedom Riders. Oh, when Negroes hear that, oh, Lord. Oh, they know they're Negroes. All they have to do is just talk that same old 1960s civil rights shit.
Peaceful, nonviolent protests.
See, he keeps emphasizing peaceful, nonviolent. He's dog whistling to the white crowd like, hey, I don't want these niggas to act up either. That's dog whistle language. He's doing it to the white crowd. Hey, peace. They were peaceful and nonviolent. That's what I'm going to promote. I'm going to keep these Negroes peaceful and nonviolent. And that's all they want to hear. The white supremacists, that's what they're listening for. What do you want our Negroes to do? No. Peaceful and nonviolent. Peaceful, nonviolent. Okay, good. We're on the same page.
Taking a knee at a football game to point out that black men, unarmed, black teenagers, unarmed, and black children, unarmed, are being killed at a frightening level right now, including by members of law enforcement, without accountability and without justice. And this problem, as grave as it is not going to fix itself. And they're...
Oh, okay. And what are you going to do about it? You see? See, black folks, we want to give people who are white props for acknowledging shit that we already know. And we want to give them props and give them hand jobs and just prop them up. He's saying, we already know this. Black folks like giving people like this props. They're just gushing over this dude. That's what black folks like. We want a benevolent master. We want Massa to be benevolent and just acknowledge our pain, Massa. Just give me a little attention. Acknowledge that I'm hurt, Massa. And that's all I have to do. This, my little Negro over here, he's feeling bad, and he shouldn't feel bad. And that, we're good enough. We're good with that. He ain't going to stop the pain. This is, I acknowledge your pain, and that's bad. But we're going to keep on being nonviolent. Yes. Yes, see, white daddy do get it. We like babies when it comes to these white supremacist suspects talking this.
Not going to fix itself, and they're frustrated, frankly, with people like me and those in positions of public trust and power who have been unable to resolve this or bring justice for what has been done and to stop it from continuing to happen in this country. And so nonviolently, peacefully, while the eyes of this country...
Oh, God. Do y'all see this game this dude is running, man? This is game this dude is running. People like me, you know, people are frustrated because people like me won't do anything to resolve it. And then he goes to something else. He doesn't say what he's going to do. He doesn't say what he's going to do. Then he goes to, well, just be nonviolent and peaceful. He said nonviolent and peaceful about 4 or 5 times. He just keeps saying nonviolent and peaceful over and over again.
...continuing to happen in this country. And so nonviolently, peacefully, while the eyes of this country are watching these games, they take a knee to bring our attention and our focus to this problem to ensure that we fix it. That is why they are doing it, and I can think of nothing...
How are you fixing it, though? You notice, that's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on the, okay, what we're going to do is blank.
nothing more American than to peacefully stand up or take a knee for your rights anytime, anywhere, any place. So thank you very much for asking the question.
You see, he just ran a Jedi mind trick on y'all ass. Did y'all catch that? He just ran a Jedi mind trick and said a whole bunch of nothing. He done got up there and got people, and most of the people in the audience were white, by the way. But black folks were eating this bullshit up. He said a bunch of nothing. And, you know, people, they can take a knee. They take a knee nonviolently, just like they did in the civil rights movement. And they're frustrated with people like me who can't fix everything. But we're bringing attention to it. And we're going to be nonviolent. And we're going to continue to bring attention to it. Thank you. Okay? We don't need you bringing attention to shit. And black folks are eating that up. Let me tell you something. These people know how to fix shit. They know how to stop something. This ain't rocket science. You can stop these race soldiers from shooting innocent black people in the back and in the head. You can stop it overnight. Don't go for that fake liberal bullshit. These fake liberals are the worst. They can stop this overnight. They can stop it overnight. I'm telling you, they can stop it overnight. They know. All they have to do is start locking up the damn race soldiers. All they have to do, put a law right now, a federal law, that if you shoot an unarmed person in the back, an unarmed black person in the back, you're going to get 50 years automatic. The shootings and killings will stop overnight. All you have to do is just put a law where they're going to get punished. It's that damn simple. It ain't rocket science. We ain't got to march around the world. If the people in the dominant white society wanted to stop it, they could stop it. They don't want to. They don't want to. That's why they keep talking around the shit, because they know the average white supremacists, the average white supremacists love the police. The police is the thing that saves their ill-gotten resources and gains and preferences and privileges. They know how important race soldiers are. So they're not going to do anything to stop the race soldiers. And if they don't make a commitment, we don't commit to them. We don't never have to vote again, because it's useless. It's absolutely useless if we're not going to do anything for black society and we're just going to let them talk some good game, and we don't want Cruz or Trump to be in office. That's our incentive. I don't give a damn about Cruz being in office. I don't care about Trump being in office, because I was criticizing this guy's speech on Twitter, and then somebody was like, well, then you're welcoming Trump back. Have Trump come back. I don't give a shit about Trump coming back. I like my white supremacists out in the open. People are like, well, you're just going to help Ted Cruz get elected. I like my white supremacists in the open. I don't like this passive-aggressive white supremacy. We're going to get the same ass-whooping, but we're going to get it with a smile from the liberals who are on team white supremacy. All of them are on team white supremacy. They can stop these race soldiers overnight. All you have to do is start throwing long jail sentences at them. They'll stop. The reason why they're doing it is because they're not getting punished. That's the only reason they're doing it. They're killing black people because there's zero punishment. They won't get punished at all. That's why they're doing it. It ain't rocket fucking science. You punish them, they stop. If you don't punish them, they keep on. That's how it works. I remember being on Dr. Drew's show, and he tries to play that whole liberal role, that bleeding heart liberal role. And I'll be on his show, and he'd have all these suspected white supremacists on the show. And then he start talking about, well, Tariq, what are some of the solutions to these, you know, the police shootings and the relationship between the police and the black community? What are some solutions? I mean, let's be solution based. I said, hell, I got a solution. Punish these race soldiers. What other solutions do we have? He changed the subject on my ass on live TV. When I gave a real solution, boy, he hurried up and changed the subject. They don't want no solutions. They're perfectly fine with black folks getting their brains blown out. It's up to the melanoid community globally to stop it. It's up to us as black folks to stop it. Because again, all the white supremacists have been deputized. They don't even have to go to the police force no more. They've been deputized. You dig? Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Family, let's go to Indiegogo. Support. I need the family to support that HC5 production. Be a part of it. Get involved with the HC5 production family. We got to be all the way on code with each other. I work hard, family. I'm out here working hard for the community. I'm risking shit for the community. I'm putting in the work. You dig? Somebody in the chat room said the white supremacists are exhausting. Yes, they are, because they don't get tired. See, we get tired. They don't get tired. They're relentless. We got to be relentless, family. We have to be relentless. So again, everybody, click the buttons below. Y'all, be a part of HC5. This is going to be the biggest movie of the year. We're going hard in the paint on the white supremacists. You understand? We're going hard. Also, support the Patreon. Get that Mink Slide album. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. And I will holla at the brothers and sisters this Sunday.